BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I got in a disagreement with a colleague of mine before the football season, and it related to Arizona State football. I like Kenny Dillingham. I got to watch him at Oregon up close. I think he's really smart. I think he has good energy. I didn't mind when he was introduced. He got emotional at his news conference. We don't get enough of that in sports. So a friend of mine, John Wilner, and I were debating how many games could these Pac-12 teams that are going off into other conferences win in their new conferences. And I thought Arizona State would challenge to be bowl eligible. And my buddy Wilner had him at 3 wins or 4 wins or some ridiculous low total. And so I left the argument feeling like, you know, I was right. But then I reached out to my friend Doug Tamro, who is at Arizona State. And I said, I was just looking for a little validation. I said to Doug, I said, you know, can they win 5? Can they win 6? And Doug is like, I think they can. And lo and behold, Arizona State didn't just win 5 or 6. They are the Big 12 Conference champions, playing in the playoff, taking Texas to double overtime. Probably should have won the game. They got a fair officiating shake. Doug Tamro is a senior associate AD at Arizona State. He's joining us now to talk about it. I have thought about that conversation many times this college football season. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And John, what's funny is on one of our texts, I had the 6 games that we needed to win to get bowl eligible. And for the record, we went 5-1 on those games. So I had it nailed down pretty good. I just didn't think we'd win another 6.
Yes.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, it got started in, I'll be honest with you, it got started in November when we were leading 24-0 at the half against Kansas State. And we all watch college football, and I've watched games like teams go to Manhattan and just get whooped, especially in November. So I thought we were on to something at that point, and then it just took off from there.
Did it feel like it could end at any moment? I mean, were you enjoying it to the point where you're like, this is amazing? It's like being on a good road trip with your kids, you know, like everything's just... Yeah. You're catching green lights at every intersection. And then, you know, was there a feeling that it was tenuous, or at what point did you just kind of go, okay, this is really happening?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, people forget we were struggling. You know, we played Central Florida here in early November, and we were struggling. And Cam was out that game. That was the game he was trying to talk himself back into the game at halftime with Kenny. And, you know, we got a pick 6 to end the half. And it kind of changed the momentum of the whole season. I mean, we were struggling that day. I mean, you know, and that kind of felt tenuous. And then, you know, the Kansas State game was just a wonderful thing to be a part of, because that place is so awesome to go to. It's such a great atmosphere when you're bussing in the tailgates, you know, everybody's in purple, and you just have so much respect for their program. So to do that convincingly was pretty awesome. So then, you know, all of a sudden we're still kind of, you know, just in the weeds. Not the team that is on the CFP bracket yet on TV, and we got BYU coming here. And, you know, at that point, I kind of figured, well, if we lose to Kansas State, we still have a top 5 team or top 10 team in BYU coming in. We can go undefeated at home for the first time in 20 years, and we got all these good things. And all of a sudden now this game is meaning a lot more. And so it just kept building and building. And, you know, outside of the last minute of the BYU game, it was just pretty much a joyride, but even that ended up okay. So, it was just kept building and building, but didn't start until November, so that's what was kind of wild.
Cam Scataboo, what was he like to be around this year?
He was absolutely awesome. I mean, you know, and the thing about Cam, too, is, you know, in the NIL age, he had everybody coming his way, trying to get things, trying to do things. He was trying to balance all that. He appreciated... our fans a lot, if that makes sense. I mean, he understands how important he is in our history now. Like, as far as Impact Sun Devils in the past, you know, I've been here three decades. You know, it's Cam, Jake, Pat, Tillman, and that, you know, and in that, not necessarily in that order, depends who you talk to, but he is that dude now. And one of the guys that's so happy for him is Jake Plummer, who was at the Peach Bowl. Like, no one is happier that Cam Scataboo can be Jake Plummer moving forward than Jake Plummer. And so that's been kind of cool because, you know, Jake was at the Peach Bowl, and Jake's hanging out in the hotel at the Peach Bowl. Like, it was two to three straight hours of Sun Devils wanting pictures and autographs and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think Jake's happy that in 25 years, Cam Scataboo could be doing the same thing at some Peach Bowl or whatever bowl we're calling it at those points. So Cam is just awesome. And, you know, we're just really excited to see where he goes next, where he ends up. And, you know, that team is going to have a lot of Sun Devil fans following him.
You hail from Elwood City, Pennsylvania. I think that's the hometown of Hack Wilson, the baseball Hall of Famer. Am I right on that? Did you go to play it?
Yeah, you're right. 190 RBIs. It'll never be topped. That's a good call.
Did you play in like Hack Wilson Little League when you were a kid, or what's it like to grow up there?
No, Elwood City's a good place. Donnie Iris and Sean Miller are two other much more famous people than me. It's a wonderful place. We love our Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins. We're all struggling with all those right now. But Elwood City is a really, really good place to grow up.
You are a excellent follow on social media. And for people who are not following Doug Tamro on social media, I encourage you to do that. You got a great sense of humor. You're yourself on there. It's hard to do that because I know, you know, you got a lot of eyes on you. But I loved when people were tweeting out all these photos of like their home stadiums with snow on it. And you were like, it's 60 degrees today in Tempe. And, you know, what made you settle with Arizona State? Because I think you started your career at Notre Dame. You had some stops at some other places. How did you know that was home?
Well, it's funny. I actually was at Notre Dame, and I went on a baseball trip with Notre Dame baseball team and Pat Murphy, as a matter of fact, National League Manager of the Year when he was at Notre Dame, and came out to Arizona State and loved it and went back to Notre Dame that week, and there was a job opening on the fax machine for Arizona State Media Relations Assistant Director. And first thing I did was find out if the job was truly open, and Roger Valdeseri made a call, and John Heisler made a call to talk to Mark Brand. The job was really open, and I picked up and moved west straight after that, and, you know, I've just been here since, staying above it and below it, and, you know, they haven't kicked me out yet, so hopefully I can stick around a little bit longer.
There was a mental shift that I think you guys had to make. So did the other nine departing schools out of the Pac-12, where you kind of had to, you could be wispy for a moment, but then you had to focus on life in your new conference. What was that shift like for you and maybe the athletic department at Arizona State? Is baseball tournament ended last year right in your neighborhood, and then suddenly it was Big 12?
Well, I think having the full year to say our goodbyes was good. You know, for me personally, just losing people that you see a lot or talk to a lot, Ashley Adamson, Roxy Bernstein, Yogi Roth, you know, they're just so many good people. And then people like Bill at Washington State and Sean Scheffler at Oregon State, Jeff Bechtold, you know, you're not seeing those people all the time anymore. So there was that kind of shock. Then there's the panic of what's going to happen. But when we landed in the Big 12, John, what we realized is we really landed well. You know, some sports more than others, but I think when Kansas came to our place this year, the place was packed, and there was a lot of Kansas people here. We play Iowa State here in a couple weeks in basketball. The place is going to be packed. It's not like we left the Pac-12 first and we caused it. So we had to find our place. We had to find a spot, and we found a really good spot with a fantastic commissioner that really appreciates what Arizona State has to offer, the large city, the large university, you know, right, the football program that we did. So we landed in a great spot. It also helps that we were able to join with Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. I mean, I was driving across the country in May, bringing my daughter back from college, and I was driving through Oklahoma, and everywhere you see are Oklahoma and Oklahoma State signs and clothing and gear. And it is wild to think that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State don't play each other in the same conference anymore. Mm. And I know you, up there, you have the same thing with Washington, yep. Washington State, Oregon, Oregon State. We don't. I mean, you know, us in Arizona, neither one of us would have been good without the other. And, you know, we're very cognizant of that. So for all our purposes, we landed great. And another thing about us is, you know, BYU is just a great opponent to have in our area because of their fan base, the location, the travel. They will help fill our stadiums. And, you know, they might wear blue, but they spend green. And there's nothing wrong. When we were playing BYU, Kenny brought up a great point. He said the best college football games are usually when there's a mix of fans. Like, you don't mind opposing fans being, you don't want them taking over your stadium.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool when there's a back and forth, right? I mean, and that's kind of the deal, you know, with BYU. I mean, they have a great following, and they're going to bring people to the game. So, after the shock wore off and you know, there's no Pac-12 network and we have to kind of adjust the way we do things, you know, your friends going away because you don't see them as much, we landed in a fantastic spot, especially football.
You mentioned Kenny Dillingham. And immediately, like, I think I saw maybe 8 or 9 games this year that I tuned into. They just happened to be on at times when I was available to watch. But, he got so excited. He's so emotional. Late in games, shouting on the sideline, disappearing into the crowd as fans are rushing the field. But, you know, you've been around a lot of coaches at Arizona State. What is Dillingham like to kind of... You know, have to manage him a little bit, or what is he like to be around?
I love being around Kenny. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I go down their offices, even if I don't have anything to do. You know, they're in a separate building than ours and at the other end of the stadium. And I like visiting not just with him, but his staff. They're really good people. He is fired up. He's passionate on the field, but, you know, by no means is he out of control or, you know, too emotional or anything like that. He just is passionate about this place. He's passionate about his team. He's really passionate about his players. He'll stick up for his players, you know, more than probably any football coach would. We've had some fun moments, and it's kind of funny when you see the stuff on social media. Like, I get a kick out of some of the, you know, when they didn't call targeting and he kind of breathed heavy and looked back with his head. I mean, those are funny moments when you look back on them. You know, what you see is what you get with Kenny. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, we talk about the pivot from the Pac-12, and one of those guys that I know you were close with, Bill Walton, he died in May. I've thought about Walton several times this year. This basketball season's not going to be the same without him. Well, you know, your experience, what was your experiences like with Bill?
Well, I think what people forgot about Bill or didn't talk about much, he was one of the most prepared announcers that one could possibly work with. I mean, he would call you 2 hours before, or 2 days, 2 weeks, I'm sorry, 2 weeks before a game and ask for an hour of your time and then take an hour and a half to talk to you. I'll never forget Washington was in the championship game. It was Washington, who were they playing in the championship, Georgia or Alabama 2 years ago, and Bill Walton called me in the third quarter. And I answered the phone. I was at home watching the game, and I answered it. And he said, "Doug Tamara." He always said your name. He said, "Doug Tamara, Bill Walton." And I'm, you know, obviously you're on a cell phone, so you know who it is. And I said, "Hey, Bill, what can I help you with?" And he said, "You're not watching this terrible football game, are you?" And it was literally in the third quarter of a tie game or something like that. And then we talked about the Sun Devils for like 90 minutes that night. He, the one thing about Bill is he was always thankful. He's one of the most grateful. And then another thing about Bill is, you know, someone always said when you do a good job, you know, tell someone's boss. And Bill didn't hesitate to tell our university president that I did a good job. So I've always been thankful for that. Bill was just he's one of the most caring, nicest, kindest humans I've ever met. And that's not just saying celebrities; that means people in general.
We're talking to Doug Tamara, Arizona State. Veteran of more than 3 decades of sports communication leadership. You've been involved with the Final Four frequently. And, I think the last one there, was it in Glendale?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Matt, what is that like? What is that like to be at the center of that thing? What's that like?
God, it's over. I've been on Dave Warlock's Media Relations Committee for about 20 years. And so it's great to be behind the scenes of that event. We help put it on. We do a lot of things behind the scenes. When you host it, it's overwhelming. It's like a second job for about 4 months. It was fun to host it. The city of Glendale, the Cardinals Stadium was a great place to have it. The inner workings of the stadium, you know, little things you would appreciate. The media room was near the locker room. It's a little spacey, unlike some places. You know, it doesn't have the Indianapolis feel. But it was awesome to host. Having the experience being on the committee helped me do it. Arizona State and Phoenix did an unbelievable job in hosting. It was nice to I'll tell you this much about hosting the Final Four. It's nice to have the final tip off at 6 o'clock local time. That was something that the media really loved, because, you know, normally when we're in Atlanta or somewhere else and you're tipping off at 9:20, you know, you get back to the hotel at 3 a.m., you know, after the championship game. But it's been a while. It brought a lot to the Valley, and then we actually host the women's Final Four in 26. So we get we hosted the NCAA Golf Championships for 3 straight years, men's and women's, and then we hosted the Final Four last year. We take a year off, and next year we host the Women's Final Four in 2026 in downtown Phoenix at the Footprint Center. So it's kind of what we do over the last 5 years, and we're good with that.
What do you tell college kids who say, look, you've been in communications for all these decades, and, you know, how do I make it in that business? Because I think, you know, you're one of these guys that you are savant-like, and you are socially brilliant, and yet everything is locked down. I think you know everyone, Doug, and you remember names, and you make everybody feel like they're important inside your building, and I think there's a real gift in that.
I tell you right now, the main thing I can tell our athletes is everybody's watching you all the time. You know, one of the things I just try to say is you don't have to warn them as much as you used to about social media, because they're knowledgeable. They understand it now. But basically, you know, if you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, you know, just pretend that every time you go to post, it's basically like a press conference. I mean, when you go to post something, it's basically like you're standing at the podium at the post game. And just use that to your advantage. I mean, right now, you don't have to encourage people to do things, because there's an end game, and there could be a wad of cash for you if you do it right. There's so much to be made, and, you know, and not just for now, but for future with these kids and you know, what they do with social media. We still really value the local media down here. One of the things that Kenny is just fantastic about is how he wants to always be available to the local media during the season. You know, he's available. This first year he was here, he was available Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after practice, and we finally had to dial him back and say, look, you know, it's kind of taken away from talking to the players. And, you know, he lets his assistant coaches talk during the week. There's no guardrails on that. We originally, you know, after a game and you have an open week come up, you just say there's no Monday press conference. Like, we don't have to have one this week. We'll have a game. And he came to us last year, and we lost, and we had an open week coming, and he said, hey, I want to get together. You know, I want everybody to get together. I don't want it to look like we're not doing a press conference because we lost. And I was like, well, no one's saying that. It's just because he's, no, I want to do it. And so it's really helpful that he understands how important the Phoenix media is, because, you know, they could cover the Cardinals or the Suns or the Diamondbacks at any point. And he's just made that part of it very easy, accessible, and efficient for us.
We're talking to Doug Tamroe, who is at Arizona State, Senior Associate AD in Communications. Doug, Pat Tillman and the Tillman Run, I know it's important to you. What does Pat mean to ASU and that community still today?
It's unbelievable the support that we get. We have the Pat's Run. It'll be 21st year this April. There's also alumni. Our alumni office has honor runs across America, and I think Portland has one. But the statue is very important to us. It means a lot, not only to the ASU community, but the veterans that visit it. His foundation is doing incredibly well, but that run is our state's greatest day. We have about 28,000 runners every year that take part in Pat's Run. It finishes on the 42-yard line at Sun Devil Stadium. You know, the amount of kids and older people and just people from various ages, and, you know, rarely do you see 28,000 people happy, and that's the case on that day. They're all there to remember just a great Sun Devil. You know, before he was USA, he was ASU, and we are very proud of that and all that's become of that. You know, I'm often hearing from people randomly that just want to see the statue, and it's inside our stadium, so you can't, it's not in a public place. But, you know, anytime somebody wants to take a picture with the statue or is in town in Phoenix and they reach out, we make sure that they get down there to see that.
Now, before I let you go, you know, my grandparents, Italian immigrants, they settled in the suburbs of Pittsburgh in a small steel town. And my grandmother used to say, Yin's doing this, yeah. Yin's doing that. And I never saw it again until I saw Doug Tamro trotting it out. You're a Steeler fan. What's going on with your Steelers?
So if you would have told me at the beginning of the year they went 10-7 and made the playoffs, I probably would have signed up. I'll be honest with you. I keep waiting for them to have to slack off. Yes, we've struggled in the playoffs. I get it. But I've also lived in Arizona and Cleveland where I've seen struggles with coaches, and it's just a matter of, you know, be careful what you wish for there. So I'm a different kind of fan, John. Whatever the Steelers do, I'm good with, and I'll be there next year on the couch watching them play, thinking that we can win the Super Bowl. You know, I would like to see them open up the offense, but, you know, my good friend's a PR director there, so I don't want to offer all my opinions because I gotta make sure I take care of him.
I love it. Doug Tamro, I'll see you down the road. Thank you for joining us. We're going to bring you on once a year to download on life in the Big 12, but feels like the sleeping giant might be awake. I know people said that for years. I mean, is there truth to that?
We hate that term.
Yeah? Huh?
We hate that term, but I will tell you this. We have a lot of guys coming back, and we have a fantastic coach, and, you know, it'll be different. We'll be the hunted. Now we're not the hunter, or, you know, so that's going to change, but we look forward. That's a champagne problem. We look forward to that.
I know. First world problem. There you go. Doug Tamro, Arizona State. Thank you, my friend.
Sure thing, John. Good to visiting with you.
You too. There he goes. And I loved it earlier in the season as all these people were tweeting out photos in December of their football stadium with snow on it. Tamro took a picture from Sun Devil Stadium going, well, it's a wind chill is 55 here today. Positive 55. Good stuff. I just want to give a peek into life in the new world for a former Pac-12 member. It's working for Arizona State, in part because if you really think about it, Arizona State was in this conference in the Pac-12 where it was competing with Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA in basketball. And there's some of that where, you know, that's asking a lot of ASU in a year in and year out basis. And so what did they do? They traded that for Oklahoma State and Kansas and BYU and some others, and they, you know, we all expected Utah was going to be the class of the Big 12 this year. It wasn't Utah. It was another Pac-12, old world Pac-12 defector, Arizona State, that emerged as the team to beat and the best team in the Big 12. They are the Big 12 champions. They make the playoff. Really interesting to watch all that unfold. Now, of course, there's college basketball, and the Big 12's got great basketball, but in the football world, ASU is not going to run into Oregon and USC and Washington. They're just going to have to beat Oklahoma State and BYU and Utah and Colorado and Kansas. And, you know, that's a different task. And in some way, if you're an ASU football fan, that's a more manageable task. Punch and Audio is coming up. We have great sound, including Rob Mullins, the Oregon AD, who is calling Haloti Ngata to let him know he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. You got to hear it. Stick around.